least you know what to do. You need to be as a child, a newborn babe, and draw down on the basic principles. You need to be as a living stone, realizing that right now, your brokenness is for their good. And you need to be, as it were, living as freeborn, submitting yourself. Look what it says. It says, this is the will of God. In verse 15, it says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The word well-doing is a word that is the idea of agathopoeo is the Greek word, but it means real good-natured works. It's good works. When you do good works when you don't have to, when you do good works when you don't want to, you are reflecting the grace of God. And he goes on to say in the next little bit of this passage, he says that in verse 5, he says, but he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. He says in verse 15, he says, that through well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He's not slamming the lost here when he says ignorance. And he's not slamming the lost when he calls them foolish. The word ignorance means that they really don't understand. Not that they can't or whatever, it's just they don't. How are we going to get their attention? I find it interesting that sometimes, you know, we see depicted in our dramas of our day somebody losing their scruples, and what do? They slap them. I don't think that's how we're supposed to get the lost's attention. They don't understand, so we slap. No, we don't slap them. But we do, in a sense, because we do something so totally freaky that they don't know what to do with it. We submit ourselves to it. And they're like, what? Why would you do that? We do something so totally out of character by saying, you know, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I remember I think I told you the story how I worked in Cleveland, and all of the guys would talk about the boss. There, all of us have probably been there one time or another talking about the boss, and the boss walks around the corner. And you just, what did I do? And how long has he been standing there? Well, these guys would sit there and talk about the boss. And I found out a story about the boss, about how one of our guys got cancer and he was dying. And he had to quit working and he was going down slowly. But he had nothing to fall back on, and our boss took upon himself to pay this man's paycheck week after week after week. He wasn't working. And I would continually bring that story back. You know, he wasn't so bad. You know what he did? And I tried to build him back up. And they're like, why would you do that? He's hard on us. He gives us good. I said, you know what? It is what it is. We live here for a little while. Why let it bug you? And sometimes you get a chance like that to find a good word to say when everything is going south quickly. He's telling us that we need to put to silence or take away their arguments about Christ. We need to put to silence their ignorance, which is something they just don't understand. And we need to realize that these are foolish men. And the word foolish means no midriff. They have no conscience. They have no bad feelings about their bad behavior. Have you ever noticed how people, they go over the top and do the foolish thing, and they act like nothing hurt? Why? Why? What did I do? The way they talk, their foolish jokes, the behavior of the wickedness, the parading in the streets of all kinds of immoral foolishness. And we wonder, what's wrong with those foolish? They have no midriff. Well, how do we get them to have one? Well, he's telling us how to do that. He says that through our good behavior, we silence them. This is why churches in the inner city many times will have ministries to the sick, those sick and dying of AIDS. They'll go in there and they will sit by the bedsides of people slipping into eternity who have been afflicted with AIDS through a homosexual lifestyle. And they will carry them right up to the door trying to tell them about Christ when given opportunity. They don't go in with the gospel. They go in with a wet rag and put it over their face. And eventually, why are you doing this? I'm doing it because I love Jesus and I know He loves you. Really? I thought you guys hated us. No. No. We hate what this sin does to all of us. And this is just one more of the same. Really? Yeah. Well, I'm dying here. You mean He could forgive me? He could forgive you! He can take all your sins away! Woo! I'm telling you, folks, this is the greatest news, the best story ever told. It's a love story. God loved the world so much He gave His Son that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That said, whoever. Whoever. And I'm a whoever, and you're a whoever, and if you'll believe in Jesus, you can be saved too. Amen? So He says, act as freeborn. Act as freeborn. And then He tells us that it all really is summed up in the fact that you're to be followers of Christ. Let your eye fall down to verse 21 and 22. He says, verse 21, He says, for even hereunto were you called. Did you know that the word church is the word that literally would be translated to be called out? And so when He says, to this you were called, to this difficulty, to this trauma, to these trials, you were called. When you were called out of the world, you were called to be a living sacrifice. That's what you were called to. You say, yeah, but I thought if I got saved, all my problems would go away. You're listening to the foolishness that is out there in the highways and byways. It's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says, they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's what it says. God never pulled any punches. God never lied to us. He said it's going to be hard. He said it's going to get worse and worse throughout history as time gets down to it. And we're seeing that. So let us not fool ourselves into believing that because we've got a nice, easy-going thing, that God's blessing us. Sometimes we think blessing means everything's going well. Sometimes things are going wrong. Linda called me the other day, and her car was broke down. And she was all upset. She's stuck. We got the kids coming. It was on Thursday, and she's at the store, and she's broke down. And she was all fretting. I said, honey, I said, it must be doing something right. She told me later that I needed to hear that. How do you look at adversity? That God's mad at you? Maybe God's using you. Maybe God's stretching you so that when, like with Linda and me, we had a lot of things kind of coming to our head at one time, and suddenly it's like, this is hard, and that's hard, and this is difficulty. What if one person got saved? Was that worth it? In your home, what if one person gets saved who you let stay in your home? In your backyard club, what if one person got saved, as hard as it's been, was it worth it? Well, it may not seem so now because we're so prone to verse 1 of chapter 2, aren't we? Malice and guile and all those things. But what is it? In heaven, when they run up to you and shake your hand and say, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Who are you? I'm that little boy that was in your backyard. I'm that young kid that came across the ocean and heard about Jesus. You know what Linda did this morning? Our kids got wordless bracelets, and she told them the unsearchable riches about Jesus in a very simplified form. You guys might want to see her about getting a couple of those for yours. She had like, how many did you have in there, 15 or so? 12 of them, and 12 of those guys, and we had the masked girls were in there probably assisting and telling them about the wordless bracelet and what Jesus did. Now, folks, listen. What is one soul worth? The Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? And what shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? You see, these are the things that we don't see regularly. But when God says that I'm going to temper you, I'm going to try you, the trial of your faith, chapter 1, is more precious than gold, your faith being tested is very important to God. Because you do not give forth the aroma of Christ when everything is going wrong. You go give forth the aroma of Christ when things are hard. And the alabaster box gets broken, and the room is filled with His fragrance. That is when people see you. And so when you step in over your head and out of your measure, that's when God shows up because you need Him to. When you're like Peter and jump out of the boat and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going in. He walked on the water, beloved. He did. And then he saw the waves and began to sink. And you'll begin to sink too after a step or two sometimes, but Jesus will always show up. Lord, help me. And what happened? Pick them right up. And you know what that is? That's a condescension of the God of the universe. He didn't have to. He chose to. He carries us. Look at the chapter again. Verse 21 says, for even hereunto were you called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. The word example is interesting. It means the writing underneath the surface. In other words, when you look at the life of Christ, what was the message of His life? His message was this. I'm willing to die for those people, and at that point He was pointing at us, and you and I need to be willing to die for other people, whether it's an evil boss, a difficult neighbor, a difficult situation, even in our own home. Jesus died for us. The Bible goes on to say that He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. He did no sin. There was no guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile again. When He suffered, He did not threaten. And He could have, but He didn't. But what did He do? What did He do? He committed Himself to Him who judged. He committed Himself to God. What did He do beyond that? He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And that's where I want to leave you today. When you take the difficulty of the circumstances around you and you say, I will give up my, all verse 1, all of the bitterness and all of the maliciousness and all the hatred and envies and pining away, I'll give it up. What you're saying is I'm going to commit myself to Him who judges righteously and sees it all, and I'm going to be willing to bear in my body, as my Lord bore in His body my sins, I'm going to be willing to bear in my body the sins of others. You know, when you forgive somebody, you necessarily absorb the consequence of their sin. You ever think about that? If somebody sins, you could sit there and stomp your foot and say, I'm American, so I don't deserve to be treated like that. I have my rights. No! You're freeborn. You purified your souls in Jesus. And you have an obligation, an opportunity to be a holy priesthood. And you're called to show forth the praises of Him. And when you do take it, you're being like your Savior. Because when they took Him at that cross, and they put the crown of thorns on His head, and they shoved it down deeply, He could have said right then, Father, let me out of here. This is ridiculous. They don't know who I am. He said, no, I'll take it. Father, Your will be done, not mine. And when they began to hit Him with a cat of nine tails and rip the flesh on His back, and when they began to beat Him and began to laugh at Him and rip His clothing from His body and mock and spit in His face and ripped out His beard, He was saying, they don't understand. He said it. They don't know what they're doing because they're ignorant, foolish men. They have no midriff and they have no understanding. You can't look at the people around you as if they know what you know. Because if you're not saved, the Bible says the carnal mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They are spiritually discerned. We've got to get our mind around the fact that this is for the whole shooting match, and they will either end up in heaven for eternity or in hell for eternity. And we got to do everything we can to station ourselves under people and help them see Jesus. That's what He's telling these people. Yours is to show forth the grace of God. Would you bow with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Don't know what you're up against today, but I know this. God loves everyone. He loves you, and He loves me. But He also loves the people that you and I flirt with hating.